And Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just praise you and I glorify you and I thank you, Lord, for being our God, leading us and directing us and guiding us, Lord, showing us what you want us to do, showing us how to do it, and being there to do most of the work. And we just thank you for it, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us these tools to use in the kingdom, the authority that you've given us, and all of the tools that you have made available to us, Lord, because you told us we have all the blessings of heaven available to us. And then you told us, you said, all you have to do is ask in my name, and you shall have it. And so I just praise you, Father, and I thank you, Lord, that we do have that authority. You gave us authority over all the power of the enemy. And not only that, you ask us here a while back to just command the angels to help out in this worldwide quest to get rid of the deep state, Father. And we just thank you for all of that. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to be all a part of this body of Christ that's led by one shepherd. And that shepherd is Jesus Christ. And we praise you, Father, for that. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have division in our ranks. We all have our eyes on you, Lord. That's all we need is you. We don't need man's ways. We don't need anything but you, Lord. And Lord, place it in our heart to realize that and to trust you. Place the trust in us. To believe that when we do pray, that it's going to happen. Because when we get to that point, kingdoms will topple and kingdoms will rise. And Father, we just praise you and we thank you for all that's going to be accomplished tonight. We ask for your leading tonight. Each one of us asked, Lord, that you would lead us and guide us and show us from what direction you would have us to go in this meeting. This fellowship, I like to call it a fellowship, and it is, because we're all striving after the same thing, and that's sanctification in you, perfection in you, Lord, and we just praise you and we glorify you, Father, for all that you've accomplished tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay. All right, anybody got a prayer request? I was just reading just a minute ago. Just one little old deal here. And I'm just going to bring it up and read it. If I can get my iPad back on. Well, let's see. He says in Matthew chapter 7. In verse 7, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds. And to him that knocks it shall be open. Amen. And then over in James chapter 4, I read this. Somewhere. Ah, here it is. James chapter 4, and I'm going to read in verse 3. Ye ask, I'm sorry, verse 2. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and covet and cannot obtain, ye fight and war, ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask. And receive not because you ask amiss, that you may spend it in your pleasures. Amen. We're going to ask the things that God wants us to ask about. We want to be in his perfect will, don't we? But I'll tell you something. We got power with prayer. We got the Almighty God behind us when we pray. So anything that we pray is going to happen if you believe. Look who's here. Praise God. Hey, Leonid. Glory be to God.
Hi, Michael.
Hey, buddy.
I'm here.
Amen. Right. It's good to have you on.
Yes, sir. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it has. It has. I was so glad to get your email the other day. Is everything going okay?
Praise the Lord. Yeah, summer's been really good. We don't have a landline here at the house, and so we don't have a home internet, and the phones have been a real struggle, not getting service and all that. So, anyways, hit and miss.
Okay, well, you're hitting tonight. Praise the Lord.
We've been downloading and just listening all this time.
Okay. It's been a blessing. So. Okay. Praise God. How's Josiah? Is it Josiah?
He's Josiah. Yeah, my son. Yeah. He's doing good. You know, we're still not out of the woods with him yet, but we know that it's done deal, and we keep holding out in faith, trusting the Lord that one of these beautiful days is just gonna. The Lord's just going to show up and touch him and completely restore him. You know, we're not losing hope.
Amen. I believe it with you, brother. I believe everybody here does too. Lord, we thank you for a quick, we thank you, Lord, for a quick healing.
Yeah. In Jesus' name. It's been almost a whole year since that dream that the Lord gave me.
Yeah.
About it's him.
Okay. It's going to come to pass.
No, I know it's going to come.
Yep. It's going to be awesome when it does too.
And moving down here to Missouri has been just such a blessing. It's not in a way it's our wilderness too, because we're kind of cut off from a lot of stuff, and the Lord's really trying us in a lot of ways. But it's been a really good time to grow, and He's blessed us with a really good local fellowship here with some good like-minded people that love us, and we love them, and we all pray and seek the Lord, and it's been a real blessing.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, yeah. Father. Man, I don't blame you. It was up there in the tundra. God bless you, man. You come down here and thaw it out. Now you can see things.
Praise the Lord. People here are ready for winter, and I'm like, I'm not quite ready yet. I haven't had enough.
You like this warm weather, huh? Amen, brother. Look at Deborah. She's up there fanning herself. She's hot. Oh, my. Oh, my. Anyway, well, it's good to have you with us tonight. Hey, Willie.
What, all right. What part of Missouri is he in? I'm sorry.
We're in Sedalia. Sedalia, Missouri, or Green Ridge, more like Green Ridge. It's about 30 miles south of Highway 70. About 2 hour drive, east, southeast of Kansas City.
Oh, east of Kansas City. Okay.
We're about central Missouri.
Yeah, okay. All right. Praise God. Well, that's a whole lot more south than Alaska.
Sure.
All right. Anybody got any prayer requests? Any testimonies? Yeah, George, go ahead, brother.
Got a lot of big life decisions for my sister. She's in a halfway house and just got her out of jail. Her husband came and brawled with her, and they both had to go to jail according to Georgia law. So got her out, and she's still kind of in She says she's in both worlds, basically, still trying to figure out what's going on with him and commit her life to the Lord, but I'm not seeing fruit, really, but I can't, you know, judge her heart besides what I, you know, I'm trying to get there, and she ain't got no minutes on her phone, so I'm just texting these books back and forth and just letting her know, you know, where we're at and how, you know, we're in Maine, she's in Georgia, it's hard to help and be a sponsor for and everything else. She's got two little kids, two children in the balance that she could lose if she don't get it together pretty quick. And I told her I'd fast and pray and hear the Lord if I could to really get some breakthrough. And appreciate y'all adding your faith to ours, that Shelly is going to get God's answer. That's it. I guess while I got y'all's ear, I also felt like I'm not sure how to explain it besides just a righteous indignation for, I feel like it's illegal for my brothers and sisters to go through a long trial or pain and sickness or the things that we've got promises for. I feel like I want to do more to take some burden. I just read Ecclesiastes 4:12 about if one comes against you and is, if a man prevail against him that is alone, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And I definitely am kind of new to the group as far as being able to fellowship with you all, but I'm taking some notes where I can of anybody's, you know, it sounds like number one priorities do bubble up from time to time, and if I can connect with, or if we wanted to do a round robin of somebody, you know, anybody that wanted to just throw up one or two of their main battles that they'd love to see God come through, you know, whatever that priority is in their life, I'd like to spend some of my, you know, sleepless time jumping on them, watering them with the word and praying the word. And I promise you, I'm not going to pray a witchcraft prayer. It's going to be praying for God's best will to be done in all of, you know, if anybody does won't help praying against whatever obstacles and, you know, breaking through the heavenlies, whatever it is. Sorry about that. I guess that's just where I'm at. I feel a little militant, and I don't like, you know, now that I get to fellowship with some people, I really don't like. It's like in the Bible where it says, if any in the church are sick, let the elders anoint and pray, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. And I feel like that if is kind of like a just if it so happens that the oddball chance that somebody would be sick because the normal life would not be not to have that happening. And I feel like that's kind of, you know, I'm probably rambling way too much, but I just feel like it should be an exception for us to go through a continual trial, you know, just a long drawn out one. This too shall pass. I'm hoping that all y'all's burdens are passing.
Amen. That's something that been on my heart too, George, is we take on one another's burdens by prayer. I know that I spend time to pray for all of y'all, and I pray that y'all do for us as well, you know. But if there's a special burden out there that somebody has that he needs or she needs prayer for, don't hesitate, because I'm going to tell you something. It's a powerful group here. It's a powerful group. Don't hesitate. Yeah, Dave.
I'll ask for some prayer for my house right now. recently we've been getting some water problems all of a sudden, just start flowing in. And we had a side of the house got a little crack, so we're repairing that. But all of a sudden, yesterday it just rained again. We had like 4 inches of rain. And then, of course, this water comes flying in the house a little bit in the lower part of my house. I'm going to pray against that. The angels come in and step in until I can actually get the time and the money to fix it. This water is not be allowed to come in my house. That's what I want to pray against.
Okay, in the name of Jesus right now, we command all leaks coming into that house to be sealed up in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Every Amen. Hole coming in that house, be sealed right now. Lord, we thank you that your angels are on the job in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Well, I can tell you about some stories about some leaks that I had that the Lord sealed up, healed up, did that for years. And as soon as I left and came up here, the leak started again.
Yeah, you know, we bought this house. It had a leak to it, but they said, oh, it's all fixed. Everything's good. And all they did was put up these catch pans to catch it as it came in and drain it into a sump pump. So over the years, we finally had some work done on it. We put an addition on in the back to kind of and had some guy put in a drain swell. Well, still the side of the house where it catches the water comes in, and it's like, you know what? And then it just started coming in pretty good here recently. We had all this water problems. So I said, you know, I'm tired of this. I'm going to pray this down. Lord's got, you know, I know he's going to honor this. It's my right. It's a Christian. It's my right as a believer not to have this come on. And you know, it's just an act, basically, and I'm done with that. So
I appreciate your prayer.
Thank you.
I believe it. Thank you, Lord, fixing that house. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, I got a prayer request. George, if you want to add to the list, or, you know, anybody else who has, I mean, if you've already been praying, you probably already have with my job situation. I got a lot of, the more I hear yours, Pat, the more it sounds like mine, in various, you know, degrees, it sounds a lot like mine. I got a very hostile work environment, but I mean, well, we as believers, when you come against the enemy, it's going to be hostile. But I think for me, I think specifically, I would desire, well, I mean, to really begin to see some breakthroughs in that area. I mean, slowly but surely, since I've, you know, brought it up a couple weeks ago, I believe is what it was. I've seen minor breakthroughs, but it's just most of all for me, you know, I was talking to Dave about this today. I texted him. And so I've texted you a couple times, Dave, and it just kind of dawned on me as far back as I can remember. I mean, I'm not, I wouldn't say I'm one to shy away from a fight when the enemy comes, but I don't know if it's, I lack the confidence or that's a sign of unbelief or whatever. I'm not as gung-ho, I guess you could say. Okay, yeah, let's go. You know, and then I start to pray, and then I really begin to, you know, take authority over the situation. But I think most of all for me, I mean, I can, you know, keep on bringing up the situation with my work, but I think with me, most of all, I want to see a breakthrough in my own life. I don't know if it's just that area or it's somewhere else. I'm not sure what exactly is hindering me. But I guess, you know, I mean, I've always kind of been one to kind of, I mean, hesitant to really press in and really, really do warfare, you know, if that's exactly what, you know, the issue is or whatever it is. I'm kind of half in, half out, you know, not 100% in. So I would ask for prayer, you know, and whoever else has me on as a your prayer lists. I'd begin to really see some breakthrough in that area for my life, right? Whatever I'm holding, wherever I'm holding back, you know, whatever hangups I have, you know, that I would begin to really deal with them. And then, you know, I mean, intercede for people. Or here's one good thing, you know, to be selfless, you know, I guess begin to devote more time to praying for others. I mean, I guess it's just kind of something that's, I'm getting better about, you know, I mean, that, you know, as the Lord is working on me, I'm getting better. But I think it's in regards, like you said, I think George, this past Tuesday or before, you know, we, you know, as in the job site, we're that hope, you know, we're that only light probably. And that's my situation, you know, and I guess that's always been kind of intimidating for me. As, you know, as weak as I feel, you know, in the faith, or I mean, as like inadequate as I feel, you know, which I'm realizing, okay, that's a good thing. Now you can see God move, because, you know, we're not supposed to be adequate, you know, or I think he's showing me lately, you know, and God is dealing with me lately specifically, you know, it's like, you can't do anything, you know, and he's showed me before, but I think he's finally dealing with that, you know, is look at yourself as being totally inadequate, totally weak, totally useless, and then that's when God shows up, you know, that's when he makes himself truly known of how, you know, how useful and how adequate and how amazing he really is. You know, when you come to your end, you know, and the less you do, the more he does. So I think it's whatever it is. Yeah. Just pray for me. I can begin to see some breakthrough that, you know, hey, when I see the enemy come against me or when I see a need, you know, I jump in head first, jump in. Okay. Let's pray. Let's do this, you know? So, yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Well, there's one thing that you need to know is that you have to confess it with your mouth, you know?
Yeah,
you do.
Yeah.
You have to confess it with your mouth. You have to have that faith. And the faith that you have, Joe, is what God's already given you. And that's all you have to do. That and trust. Trust that the Lord's going to fulfill what you pray. And when you understand that, when we all understand that, prayer is a wonderful thing. It changes a lot. Ask Pat. He's just seen that in his workplace here just in the last couple of weeks. You know, all of us have seen it at some time or another. But it's when you first start out in the praying business, and I'll just put it like that, it seems to be a burden. We seem to get distracted quite a bit, and that's an excuse that the devil wants you to have. He will try everything in the world to keep you from disrupting his kingdom. Oh. And that's what you have to look at. You have to look at it in the sense that you're upsetting his apple cart. And when you're doing that, and when you realize that, then you'll press in and start believing what the word says. You know, you pray.
Yep.
And you believe what you pray, and you're going to have it. So, yeah, we'll pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just ask and we pray that bold and great and bold faith is upon Joe right now in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we ask that you place it in his heart to have your heart, Lord, because you prayed all the time. You prayed all the time. Every time there's somebody looking around, you was out there in a garden praying or wherever it was, you were praying, but you were seeking your God. You were seeking the Father for direction. And you were praying for people. He was praying for people, just like we pray for people, Lord.
Yes.
And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to place it in all of our hearts to pray more, intercede more for each other. And as we make notes and understand the things that are happening to people on this fellowship, that we can pray, even that when we get off the fellowship in our quiet times in the morning or in the evenings or whenever it is, that we lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ. And intercede for them and understand that the angels at work, God's at work, and he's going to do what we ask. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We're going to thank you, Lord, that Joe's going to have a wonderful testimony about him praying and interceding and having a good time doing it, too, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Okay. Anyone else? I want to pray for. Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I was telling Joe quickly after he was telling me about, you know, some of the things I said. You know, after our conversation Tuesday about spiritual warfare, especially when we brought up, I think it was at Tibet. We were talking about Tibet, was that? Anybody remember with Malcolm?
That was the whole conversation, pretty much. Yeah.
And we were kind of figuring out our spiritual relation aspect and authority and where we can apply our authority and where we're kind of stepping in places we shouldn't be. You know, that whole discussion, I mean, I was trying to tell Joe, And I said that next day, and Michael says, well, anybody want to pray about their workplace, you know, and start casting down their areas. And I thought, well, I kind of do that already, but not to the extent that Pat's doing it, because Pat's over having authority. He's got this umbrella going. But after that discussion, here it is. I thought, well, I bet the next day, of course, I'm in spiritual warfare at work, because here it is. It's coming at me. And I'm seeing people getting stirred up, and I'm thinking, I can see Satan on some of these people coming out, you know. So I'm thinking, okay, you know, time I have to go in my little, start doing some work here, and I can feel the oppression, and I can feel that coming out, and I can see people saying things that shouldn't be said, because they're just kind of, the flesh is acting out a little bit. It's Satan coming through them, and, you know, it's like, we're discussing this spiritual warfare thing, and that's stirring things up around here. And here I'm in the battle. I said, and I'm telling Joe, because he kind of got into a little bit of a battle that day. I said, this is generally what I've been seeing happen whenever we come together at UBM and we're talking about things. God is very good. The next day, he might be putting you in this as a group. You'll see this come up, because it's not only is this a fellowship, but because I've had dreams on this, this is more than just a fellowship. We're in a classroom, and the Lord's in charge, and he's putting us through these trials and these lessons. And sometimes he puts it to you through you as a group, because he's trying to have you all come together and learn by this and come back and discuss it, and this is what I had to go against, and or this is where I'm failing, and this is where I need to work. And because he's trying to train us up, he's getting us ready for things. He's intentionally pulling us through this, so we all have this same unique situation happen, or we're going through a trial, or we're in one accord whenever we're doing these things. So I said, well, I'm not surprised, because that's kind of how God works these things out. He has us all kind of go through it once on some of this stuff, because he wants to talk to us and address it, and then same time build us up and get us prepared and have us do things and stand up for his kingdom. And that's how he prepares us. So I wanted to bring that up.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's right. We're in a boot camp, so to speak. Which we're all learning.
I was just going to say, now that you say that, you know, I remember you saying that earlier, and I thought, well, yeah, okay, I know. I was kind of feeling some oppression throughout the day, so I was like, yeah. But, no, I mean, now that you say so, yeah, I can look back at various times, and I think, I've even seen it within myself. Like, Tuesday, I felt really energized and just, you know, refreshed in the Lord. But I see others were dealing with things, you know, a couple other people were. And there's times where I'm feeling, you know, like I'm in the thick of the battle, thinking, you know, I'm in the frying pan, and I see others are. So, yeah, I like what you said there, Dave, because I've seen it personally. I'm thinking, oh, I'm not the only one dealing with something here. Somebody else is. And then there's others who, you know, when I'm not kind of, you know, spiritually refreshed, somebody else is. And then we kind of change places somewhat from time to time. So, yeah, I see what you're saying there.
Amen. Okay.
Amen. I wanted to share that. Am I on there? Okay. So we've been here, our daughters, and whatever it is sharing, it's just the purifying God is doing in us. I know it in me. And he's so merciful to give us times of everything seems so good, just the fellowship and in the word and prayer, and it seems so good. And then, bam, he allows something to come into your life to show you things about yourself, and it's all his mercy and grace and love to confess these things to him and give them to him. So that's what he's been doing in me since we've been here, is supervision for our daughter and two grandchildren. So, but the God's been just, especially today. Today was especially hard for me. I was just fighting a lot of selfishness and, I just continually going for the Lord, repenting of this and that, because they would come up and I'd catch it and won't let it go, but still I saw it there. And, and I just want him to complete this work, you know, that he's doing. And I want to be able to be what he wants wants of me. He says to serve, and he says to do it in love, and it doesn't matter how the situation got there, how it happened, whose fault it was. If he put you there, he's got you there for a reason, and that's to be his light and to serve. And so I just want to be that, and without resistance. I've had a lot of resistance today in me, and I'm just confessing that, and that arises up a lot in me. It's not just today, but through this situation, today's been the big day of that. So, and then we wanted to ask prayer that, praying that this supervision can come to an end by the 8th, because we wanted to come back on the 8th, but she hasn't even been to court yet. She doesn't go to court till the 9th, but it wasn't court, but DCFS themselves that allowed her to have the children back with supervision. And so maybe they are the same ones that hoping that can lift it, lift the supervision so that we can come home on the 8th. And so we want prayer for that. And yeah, so just thanking him for the work he's doing too in me and
everybody. Okay. Else. All right. Well, Father, we lift up Debbie and Denny to you and her daughter, their daughter.
Thank you.
And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to take their daughter to the place wherever it is that she has to go to repent completely and to have her heart holy towards you, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you that you're doing that work. Not only that, Lord, she's going to be a mighty woman of God because of this ordeal. And we thank you, Lord, for placing it in Denny and Debbie to endure in their faith, to believe and to trust you that the work you're doing is the work that's going to bear fruit in their daughter's life, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that the granddaughter, the grandbabies, Debbie and Denny's grandbabies, are not affected by this in any kind of way, in Jesus' name. We come against every kind of demon that's trying to enter into their lives. Right now, we cast them off, and we block them from coming in and doing any kind of messing up in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that your angels are there on the job to help those little ones in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the answer to prayer for Debbie and Denny. All these things that they want, that they need, Lord, we just ask that your will be done to get this, get their daughter in the kingdom in Jesus' name. We praise you for it, Father. I believe it. In the name of Jesus, I declare it and decree it. By the Lord Jesus Christ, it is done.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Oh, glory, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
I want to pray for Nellie, George's sister. Okay. We just lift her up to you and her situation, Father, with the two kids and what's going on. And Father, we pray that you would bind any spirit of doubt and any double-mindedness, Father. We pray that you would just set her heart like the Lord's was. Set like flint, face set like flint towards the Lord. We just pray that you would do that grace, give her that grace for that, and she would really turn to you and just really run to you and not look back and not look to the left and not look to the right, and not doubt. And we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We just believe Shelly's going to be a mighty woman of God too, Lord. That you are making her that even as we speak. We can't see what's going on, but we know that you're on the job. We know that your angels are on the job as well. And we thank you, Father, that Shelly is completely being transformed as we speak. It may not look like it in the natural, but we know it by faith that she is, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else? Matthew, did you have a testimony? Did you have another one?
Yes, I do. It was regarding of what, you know, Pat was talking about regarding his work and praying for it. And I was thinking, you know, that's a really good idea, praying for your work, you know, for blessed people around you. And just before this, having a lot of trouble with the night shift, not leaving me stocked up to run in the morning, and a few other areas at work. And so that night, I prayed and blessed the night shift and work. The next day, they left me mostly stocked, and it was really a blessing. And then, you know, just everything that went along that day was just, you know, everything that we prayed, or I prayed. And but one thing that I forgot to pray for was my stalker. And he just kept running off and not stocking me up, and I kept had stock, and I was like, why isn't he stalking, you know? And then the Lord's like, you didn't pray for him. Oh. So Wednesday night, I added him to the prayers. And today it was like, yeah, he kept me completely stocked this morning of what they could of parts that we had. And everything was going well. There was, I even was praying for the attitudes between bosses and supervisors and team leads. It seems to really help. I don't know anybody else that worked in them. And it just feels like the whole atmosphere changed. Like before, you could just feel the hostility in the air. A hostility, you know, supervisor against the team leader against the supervisor, coworker against coworker, complaining about this, and happy. And so this is just a wonderful, wonderful testimony of what prayer can really do, you know, when you unite it with faith. Just praise the Lord. This is awesome.
Amen. Now that's two witnesses right there, Joe. That's two witnesses, brother. Go for it. Yeah, amen. Okay, anyone else got a good testimony or a testimony or a praise report? Yeah, Missy, go ahead. Now that we can see you.
I actually have a prayer request, but to lead up to that, while I was there in Tennessee the last time, Sandy told me that she had a dream just a few days before I had gotten there. And she had a dream that she saw this man sitting at this table, and he stood up and he says, listen, I can talk. And in the dream she thought or knew that it was my dad. And for anybody that doesn't know, back in 2008, on my dad's, I think it was his 67th birthday, he had a stroke. And he can make sounds, and he gets his yeses and nos mixed up, but he doesn't say much. And I've had in 2012, I had a bunch of dreams that he was going to talk again. So I've been encouraging him in that, and the Lord prompts me now and then to talk to him about that and encourage him. And tomorrow we're going to Merle and I are going to go visit my family, and I feel the Lord to not say anything in front of my mom. I haven't, sometimes when I've gone and visited, you know, I'll take my dad and go get ice cream or something like that. So I want to try and do that, get him away and tell him that, you know, because sometimes I get, you know, negative feedback from my mom, and I just don't want to say, I just don't feel to say anything to her in front of her, to him in front of her. And anyway, would like prayer about my visit, and also about me telling my dad, and that my dad really receive that and really encourage him. Father, I just ask you, everybody agree with me, and then Michael, if you want to add anything to it, Father, I just ask you to prepare my dad. Sandy got a random word, you know, she actually asked, let me also say this. She actually asked, Lord, when is this going to happen? And she landed on the word preparation. And what we got out of that is that the Lord's preparing him when he's done preparing him to receive this healing, you know. And I encourage both my mom and dad and tell them that the Lord's going to restore their health. But anyway, so having said that, Father, I thank you for this encouraging dream that you gave Sandy, Lord. And I thank you that you are preparing my dad, whatever that looks like. Just prepare his heart, that if there be any unforgiveness, that he forgive, Lord. And even, Lord, you know, I've spoken to him, you know, about that too before, you know, just telling him, you know, he needs to forgive, and maybe that's something I need to remind him again of. And just give me the words to share this with him. And Lord, I just ask you that it builds his faith, Lord, and that it really encourages him. And I ask you to watch over Merle and I and are going and coming back, Lord. And I just ask you to bless my time with my family, Lord. You've shown me to not to throw my pearls before swine. You gave me a verse that led me to believe that's what you were saying. And so just help me to be weak to the weak, and to just be led by you, Lord, in what I share, Lord. And I just ask you to particularly also bless my time that I get to have with my son and my new daughter-in-law, Matt and Megan. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for rectifying that whole division that's going on with them and my mom. And I'm not sure about my dad, but Lord, you know. And I just rebuke spirits of faction, and Lord, I just ask you to bring forgiveness into the hearts of Matt and Megan and my mom and dad, and just in the whole situation all around, and bring humility and humbleness. And I thank you, Lord, for bringing salvation out of this situation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for total victory this weekend.
Amen.
We thank you for it. Lord, we just ask that place it in Missy's heart to pray in the Spirit the whole way up there, because I feel like that the Lord is going to do something with the dad. And Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that you're preparing his heart to receive. And I praise you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that she's going to point out something to him that's going to click in the Word of God. And he's going to understand that he can receive healing. And we praise you for it, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to show him his heart. If there's any unforgiveness in that heart, he's going to repent for it by the time that Missy gets there.
Amen.
And we thank you for it, Father. We just ask and we pray, Lord, Matter of fact, we come against any kind of faction or division in that family whatsoever in the name of Jesus. And we command peace in that family while Merle and Missy are up there in the name of Jesus, that everything is going to be fine. And we just praise you, Father, that she's going to see us a change in Matt and Megan. And we just praise you, Father, that M&M is not going to be M&M anymore. It's going to be M. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. They're going to be one in Christ. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to have a wonderful testimony next Tuesday.
Amen. Thank you,
Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anything else? Anybody else want to pray? Okay.
Bless y'all. Thanks, Michael.
Okay. All right. Anyone else? Okay. What y'all want to talk about tonight? Look at Pat. I was wondering if he was going to speak up tonight or not. Go ahead, brother.
I was just enjoying it's I don't know. I kind of didn't know where to share and everything, but the Lord is definitely blessing us as a group, and I'm listening to people just experiencing the things in the Lord. I love to listen to people's testimonies, and because it always jogs things in my mind as to, you know, what, you know, the Lord led me through that. I saw that. He taught me that then and whatever. So it's very good. It's I'm really enjoying it. But I think what I wanted to do is ask one thing. For some reason, this is kind of a down in the dirt type of prayer, but for some reason, the messages that I've been downloading, I download the Wednesday and Sunday messages and then copy them over onto my phone so I can listen to them on the way to work. And for some reason, the last month and a half, I used to use podcasts, but we don't have that functioning yet. And so now I've been going and basically downloading them and converting an MP3 over into on my iPhone and that whole process. For some reason, it's not working now. I drag it over into my iTunes, and I have the message on my iTunes, but when I drag it over onto my phone, it won't play. So it's one of those technical type of prayers. I either need guidance on how to fix it, number one, or just God to fix it, number two. And I don't really care which one it is. But
what kind of phone do you have? Do you have an iPhone? It's an
iPhone, yeah.
Okay, do you have a Mac computer?
Yes.
Okay, do you use iTunes?
Yes.
Well, how come it ain't working?
That's the reason for my prayer request, Michael. If I knew, I wouldn't be asking.
Here's what I do. I put it up in, I open up Finder and find my phone, okay? Mm-hmm. And then I just drag from iTunes over. I guess that's what you've been doing, right?
Been there and done that.
Okay, and you do have it converted to MP3 in iTunes.
Yes.
Okay. Then I don't know. We'll just have to pray for that one, brother.
Okay, I'm ready.
Yeah. Okay, Lord, we just thank you that from now on, from this point on, everything that Pat does in the past, that work, is going to keep on working. Amen. In the name of Jesus. That's not going to have any problem with the iPhone not playing, which drug over into it from iTunes in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that the and we thank you, Father, that Brandy and Casey and Amber's getting the podcast up too, because that's a simple way of doing things. And Father, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that all of that's going to be fixed here shortly. And Pat's going to be able to listen to the broadcasts when he moves it over into his phone. And not only that, but the podcasts are going to be fixed here shortly in Jesus' name. I think the podcast is on the verge of being ready.
Amen.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, Missy.
It is working. Brandy's been posting it for the podcast, and I've been he told me about an app that I downloaded and you can do the podcast now Android.
Well, if you can do it on Android, you ought to be able to do it on Mac. On the iPhone.
Yeah.
I'll go back and try it. Maybe I need to delete the programs again and download everything new and or something. So
yeah,
maybe I'll figure that out.
If you have any problems, Matt, just call me and I'll have Brandy try to walk you through it or something.
Okay. The Lord has had me in Ezekiel 36. For the last month, and it seems like little things here and there he's showing me about that, and I don't think I'm really ready to share everything that what I've learned there at that point, but I know that the Lord has, and by the way, before I forget it, George, I'm with you 100%. I agree that we need to find ways to come together and join together and pray for specific things, kind of focus in on certain things and how to go from where we're at now to there, I don't know, but I agree that there is power in specific intentional prayer for specific things. I know one thing that I don't know. It's the Lord kind of created me. He gave me a. I'm not going to say a logical mind. I'm going to say a detailed mind to focus on the details of His Word, and that sometimes it just when I'm reading a scripture, I don't know if it works the same way with you, but when I'm reading the scripture and certain words will pop out when I'm reading that verse, and it's really hard for me. I used to read, go through these reading programs and read, 10 chapters a day, or go through the Bible in 3 months, or whatever it would be. But it's increasingly hard to do that because I'll start reading a verse and I get stopped on like one word, and the Lord just piles thoughts in on that one word. But anyway, I've been struggling. No, I won't say struggling. I've been going through Ezekiel 37 or 36. And it's when God, of course, using Israel as a pattern, and that's where God promises the new covenant relationship of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit and changing our heart, etc., giving us a new heart. So, and I've been just focusing on that and seeing the importance of that. But one of the things that I just wanted to share what the Lord gave me this morning, and that was based upon one of these. I don't remember where I was reading now, but matter of fact, I'm going to pull it up so I can just read it. Wrong day. What he gave me a question when I woke. I woke up. It was yesterday morning. He gave me this question, and that was, can one be delivered from a spirit the presence of which we are unaware of? And in other words, if you're not aware of a certain situation, a certain spirit or attitude or belief, or if you're not aware of it, that it's functioning in you or in your thinking, can you be delivered of it? And so I got to thinking about that, and he gave me it was basically a yes and a no answer as I was thinking about it. And so I said, at this time, I believe unless one is aware of the ground that that spirit stands on, and unless that ground is removed, the spirit can only be cast out for a time, but in time, with great subtlety, will only return to re-inhabit its place and remain hidden until its presence is discovered again through failure in our walk, caused by this spirit undercutting of our faith. And he undercut, that spirit will undercut our faith based upon the influence that he poses on us from that strategic standpoint in our soul, in our thinking, or in our mind. And because we are unaware of the ground that that spirit resides on, that spirit can always come back. And I think I've heard David teaching basically of that same thing. Matter of fact, Michael, you just mentioned it the other day that, you know, you pray and cast that spirit out. Remember that that spirit's going to come right back. He's going to do a wheelie and pop right back over there and try to take that ground away. So also, what the Lord is showing me is that even though that aspect happens, let me just actually stop there. Does that sound right? I just want to pose that to everybody. Does what I just said, does that sound right?
Pat, I remember the story of Job, okay? He didn't know that he was self-righteous, but God made sure he found out about it. Okay, I don't worry about those demons that I don't know about. I don't worry about those that I don't know about. I worry about the ones that are controlling me now. And I don't know. I'm not sure. Well, that's what I do. I don't worry about those I don't know about, because I don't know about them until the Lord points them out to me. You know.
Correct. I agree with you. Joe, what do you think? I mean, you raised your hand.
I would agree. I, you know, basically what you said, because I think when I, you know, just being very young and I guess the, you know, understanding deliverance and spiritual warfare, one of the first things that I learned is, I mean, just like Michael said, I really don't worry either about those spirits that I don't know of. I mean, it's just like, because the ones that are already there and I know of, that's what I got to worry about. But I think, I guess what came to mind for me was the idea of, repentance. We know that means to change your mind. Your mind is at play in there. So the more you agree with what that demon's telling you, you know, I learned early, okay, yeah, he has a legal right. Because, you know, you're buying into his lies. You have embraced his lies. The more you sit there, you know, and you think about what that demon's telling you, you know, the moment you... you know, you cast those thoughts down, of course. I mean, I've had to realize that more and more. I think that's where I've started to really see some major deliverance, is just continually casting those thoughts down. But I would agree, yeah.
He's talking about demons he don't know about.
Oh.
Well, if you don't know about a demon that's there, then how can you pray against it?
Oh, well. Okay, sorry. I thought you said the ones that you did know of. Okay, my bad. No, I see what you're saying. Wait a minute. Let me get back to your original question.
Well, okay. Number one, that is exactly one of the reasons. Well, that is one of the reasons for the body, yeah, is because absolutely, as we run our mouth.
Well, that's one way of putting it. You go, Pat.
Well, and then I hate to say it, but again, that's really why the Lord brought it forth in me,
yeah,
to join back up with this group and, mm-hmm, become and open my mouth and become a part and a participant, because the battles, I believe that a lot of us have, if you've been a Christian for a while, you've already learned the battle, the situation where you're constantly fighting and then you're on waves of faith and moving along, and then you get your legs cut out from under you and you're back on the ground on your knees again, etc. And this whole cycle seems to continue on and on and on. And you always get tripped up with something that you were not aware of, like blindsided you, or that's kind of what I have begun to see. And so I believe that our job in participating, in being a part of the body, is not only... it is to be the one that covers our brother, so to speak. And when we see things that they are not aware of, or my brother and my sister is not aware of, then if I'm aware of it, then I'm responsible to do something about it. So I'm responsible to pray. I'm responsible to deal with however I can minister God's truth, whether it means I run my mouth or I say something or I make a comment or I simply just pray and trust God to take those strongholds down. Somebody of us in this group has got to be aware of something that needs to change. That's got to be the first thing that, you know, that we see. Somebody's got to see something, and then it prays. If we're all unaware of a particular issue, then none of us can pray for it. So I guess that's why, to a certain degree, I run my mouth, because I hope that everybody out there will see where I am lacking, and I provide that wonderful opportunity for you guys.
Well, you come up with a good point, good valid point. As the more transparent we are, the more we're going to know one another. Let's see what Tim has to say. Go ahead, Tim.
As Pat was talking, I got to thinking that the demons that are, you know, dwelling within us that we maybe not recognize or identify or be a big deal. You kind of substitute the word enemies in place of those demons. And there's so many promises. I was thinking of Proverbs 16 and 7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And so even if they're there, if we're walking the walk, that the demons don't get a foothold and can't do anything. And another one was in Luke 1:71, where Zacharias is talking, is prophesying. He says, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. So the demons, they hate us, and we may not recognize them, and we may have physical enemies that hate us that we don't know about. But either way, if we're walking, pleasing the Lord, and praying, and you know, doing the best we can, and striving to grow, he's going to make our enemies known and unknown to not be have an adverse effect on us.
Amen. Amen. That's a good way of putting it. Amen. That's good, Pat.
I remember listening to Milton Green once, and some guy was saying to him, hey, you're probably one of these guys who see a demon behind every tree. He says, well, I don't see a demon behind every tree. I see 20 of them. He basically was saying, you know, they're out there. We're living in this spiritual world we can't see, but they're there. And so, you know, they're going to be opportunistic. So it seems like all of a sudden, why am I in this warfare? What's going on? Why do I feel the impression? Well, that's our job, is to fight the warfare. So when it presents itself, then we're there, we're in the battle. You know, we can't really avoid it, but that's why we're here in this class too, to learn how to fight these wars. Because there's people out there in the body that haven't got a clue, and they don't even believe that's possible. They think, well, Satan's somewhere out there, but I'm not really sure about all of this, so they don't have any knowledge about it at all. Whereas we were very, you know, we're coming more and more aware all the time when we speak about it, and we see how each other are fighting these different battles and seeing success and victories that we didn't realize that we have. That's where we can put our focus on and see results. So I think just by listening to each other and what we've had to do and the successes we're having or the fights we're in all of a sudden and what we're up against is making us more and more aware of just what we can and can't do in this spiritual realm that we're involved in that we don't even see. So we have to be cognizant of the idea that's there and not be afraid of it or intimidated by it. But when it's time to fight, we just take up the battle, pray against it, cast it down, and pray through until we see the results. That's what our job is to do, and that's why we're here in this classroom to understand that.
Amen. Yep. It's a constant battle, and it's going to be until we get up to heaven. That's why he wants us to keep that armor on all the time. The armor of God. Ephesians 6. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Yeah, George, go ahead, brother.
Maybe just a rabbit trail, but I've been thinking for a few weeks about why God tells us to greet one another with a holy kiss. And y'all might have some insight on this beyond the letter, but I keep thinking of loved ones that have already passed or people you wish you could see just one more time, how you would grab a hold of them and you would kiss them on the cheek and you'd mark that moment. And I feel like the early church, they all were martyrs. You know, to be a witness, that same word witness means, or it is martyr. There's something to just while we're in this physical world, appreciating one another, not letting an opportunity go by that we don't revere one another and, you know, get close enough to know that we have total peace with one another, you know, close enough that if we were an enemy, we'd be able to jab them in the ribs. But instead, we get close enough to kiss and receive one another and submit to one another, that spirit that says, I receive you as a brother, and we are one in spirit. And while I was meandering on that, I was thinking, I've heard before that humans are the only, whatever you want to call it, the only things that actually kiss. And I thought about how just that little suction, it's almost like taking a part of somebody when you kiss them. So, I mean, I don't want to get nuts in that realm there drawing that picture. But while I'm going, I was thinking, too, about living stones. And he's building this body and this, you know, he's building his church without mortar. He's fitting all these stones. And you think about living water is moving water. And if we're living stones, maybe we're moving amongst each other and we're sanding each other smooth and we're fitting together so tight. And God's doing that. He's, you know, so I've heard the reference of God taking a block of stone and knocking everything off that don't look like Jesus, and maybe spiritual sandpaper of people that will allow somebody to step on their toes or just rub them the wrong way, but they receive it and say, God, I can handle this. This person's growing in the Lord and they're learning how to deal with people, and I don't know what they've been through in their life to make them so hard-headed. And God forgive George for being such an idiot all the time. So I do. I ask y'all to forgive me if I sound a little too hard to deal with, because I don't know. It's maybe God's made me that way for a reason.
Look, George, you sound pretty good, man. You sound like a Gentile person. Don't worry about that. But why does God want us to greet each other with a holy kiss? That's an awesome question. And go ahead, Willie. Willie's going to delve into it. Praise God, somebody else. Go ahead, brother.
I would simply think that it means, you know, breath and life. You know, what comes out of your mouth? Breath, life. You could kiss a person on the cheek. It is showing, you know, that love that we have toward the Word of God. You know, it's like that's the best way I can explain it. You know, the tongue is like a, you know, we speak words with the tongue. We speak the word of life from the mouth. And so it's I wouldn't want to say like kissing God, but showing love toward, you know, that covenant that God has given to us. You know, it says that the word of God, you know, be continually in our mouths. You know how when it deals with the word of God and the mouth and stuff like that. So when they go to kiss each other, pertaining to that covenant, pertaining to those promises, you know, pertaining to having love toward one another and love toward God and stuff like that. That's what I would think it would mean. That's how I see the relevance of it. Like if I try to see the relevance behind it and try to relate it, you know, how is that relevant to me, you know? But that's the best answer I can give.
That's the closest I've ever heard. I tell you what, I like that's an artistic ability coming out in you, man. I'm gonna tell you, I like it. Go ahead, Missy. That's a good explanation. Can you write that down? Send it to me.
What came to me was I had this dream where, this was back in 2012, but I had this dream where I was taking care of this baby, and it was a bald-headed fat baby. And David said, immature baby Christian, not submitting and full of the flesh, fat or whatever. But I had this baby and I was taking care of it. And I was just kissing that baby and just telling that baby that I love it. Mommy loves you, and just kissing. And what came to my mind was, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. And what I was doing spiritually, and I think you can apply to this to what George is asking. I'm glad you asked this, George, because I would have never thought about it. I don't think this would have ever popped into my mind. But spiritually, greeting each other with a holy kiss is speaking God's word to people, blessing them with the word. Greeting them with the word, whatever the Lord, puts in you to greet them with, speaking as an oracle of God, but anyway, yeah, I would have never thought of that, but that's cool. That's what I think. I mean, if you want to definitely put a spiritual spin on it, and that may be what Paul meant. I think that was Paul that said that, wasn't it? Anyway, maybe that's what he really meant was that. Not a literal physical kiss, but spiritually greeting them with the words of God. Can't hear you, Michael.
Oh, I was sitting here talking. Yeah, that's good. It's all spiritual, and I believe it. And I heard Fudgesicle in there screaming. Okay. Anybody else on this holy kiss thing? This is good stuff. I like it. I've never even given it a whole lot of thought myself, so I'm learning something tonight.
Wouldn't the best kiss of all be when you first heard your message of salvation and how you came to the Lord and how you attained new life? There's the best kiss of all. The Lord bringing to you that word of salvation, and now you're in the kingdom. Now you're partaking of this life of Christ.
Amen.
I haven't been kissed in a while, but usually when they someone's kissing you, it's because they love you, And you can miss those childlike kisses that you used to get from your son or daughter when they were little kids, But you can still remember them too.
Yeah.
And you have to return them now, but spiritually.
Yeah. Talking about the your kids getting up in your lap and stuff. I've got 35-year-old girl that still jump up in my lap, I'm supposed to hold them. Come on now, talking about 130-pound girls here. Lord of God, or bigger. But it's fun. Yeah, the holy kiss. That's speaking the word and salvation, all that good stuff. Anybody else?
Yeah, maybe they won't hear this one, Michael.
Well. I see them coming. I generally get up and go get out of the way. All right.
You know, Michael.
Go ahead.
There's that example of the Judas kiss. You can compare the two. Paul talked about the holy kiss, but then there was the Judas kiss too. That came up and kissed Jesus while giving him over.
Yep, he sure did. That's not a good kiss either.
I thought about that, and there's the two kisses, aren't there? There's a kiss of the world, and there's a kiss of our spiritual world. There's a difference. significant difference. One's selfish, one's going to a kiss of death, essentially. And then we have the kiss of life.
Yep. Amen. I'm taking notes, y'all. Amen. What do you think, Gano? I didn't mean to put you on the spot, girl. Does anybody else got something on the Holy Kiss? Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Well, yeah, I guess I had a question, Leonid. You brought that up there. I never understood that. Why did Judas go and give him a kiss? But I guess, does that have to do with, you know, the opposite of what Paul said? You know, it sounds like a kiss of deception is what came to mind for me. I mean, he was, well, it seems like, yeah, Judas was trying to deceive the Lord, and of course the Lord could see right through it. So is that a speaking, I don't know, I mean, is this what you're getting at, speaking words of deception or what? You know, because you, that's a good point. Yeah, I mean, bringing up what Judas did, and I thought, I mean, because I always read that, and I was like, now why on earth did he actually kiss him? So, yeah.
Go ahead.
Judas said that's the way he was going to greet Jesus, and they would know that's Jesus when they seen him.
Yeah.
And he kissed him on the cheek. So it was a sign also.
Okay.
And definitely a sign of deception. But at the same time, Judas used it to alert the apostates there, the Jews, that this is the one you want to attack. This is the one we're coming against.
Yep.
Go ahead, Tim.
The other day, towards the end there, and I don't think it's in the other Gospels, but in Luke, it actually says in 22 and 3 that Satan entered into Judas. And that kind of put a whole new perspective on that betrayal. You know, they talk about, you know, Judas, you know, whom betrayed Jesus, you know, earlier on in the different Gospels. But when it says that Satan actually entered into him, you know, he could have been, you know, wholeheartedly a disciple, doing everything right, but he was overtaken. And it kind of, you know, it gives you a little bit of empathy for him, I guess, but that would maybe explain why the kiss was shown as a sign. It was a true satanic betrayal.
Yeah, go ahead, Nate.
I just was thinking that Judas, the whole time, never came to Jesus. He always was holding out, holding back. He's not the one that was crucifying himself in his flesh, trying to walk the walk as the other disciples were. He wasn't really trying to be a disciple. I think he was just standing back watching the whole time and not really buying into that whole thing. And so the reason why Satan was able to walk into him is because he was never one of Jesus' disciples. He never wanted to come in and follow Jesus. He was just there to observe like anything else and see whether or not there's something here in for this for me. And when he decided, well, there's something more valuable than what Jesus has to offer, and I'm going to take that silver. And after he entered, when Jesus said, go, you know, go do what you have to do, he just was buying into more of what he was already buying in before that. Because remember, prior to that, it was known that Judas handled the purse strings. And then when Mary was anointing him with that special oil on his feet and his head, he was complaining about the cost of that. Could have been sold, and he could have shared that with the poor, but he was thinking, well, here's this money that could have came back in my purse. Now, he was just looking at what's in it for him. And so that's the danger of the real Judas in the church, is they're not in it for the kingdom. They're not being sons of the kingdom. They're the Satan. They're being the sons of Satan, which is very selfish, self-seeking. What's in it for me?
Well, I've got something to read. Let's see if Judas was a disciple or not. Then we're in Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 12. And it came to pass in these days that he went out into the mountain to pray. And he continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples. And he chose from them 12, whom also he named apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James and John and Philip and Bartholomew, and Matthew and Thomas, and James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became, not he wasn't right then, who became a traitor. So, yeah, he became a traitor, but he started out, he was okay, I believe. I believe he was one of the disciples. And you're right, Dave, in the fact that the devil entered into him. He had unforgiveness, I believe. He had unforgiveness in his heart toward Jesus. If you remember, I'm trying to remember the scriptures, but the Lord rebuked him once before. And I don't know if he carried that through to the deception and the traitorship, but, you know, right after that's when the devil entered him. If anybody else has got something on that, let me know. Yeah, Joe.
Are you talking about where he says one of you has a devil? I believe that verse where he was, I think he was speaking to the Jews. I forget which instance we're at, but I remember hearing that, and that just like was like, whoa, wait a minute. Jesus just said one of you disciples has a devil when he was speaking to Jews. Is that what you mean? When he rebuked them, or was there another time?
Well, yeah, there was another time too, but yeah, that was okay. One of them. But,
yeah, I was thinking that was it.
When they broke the alabaster box, and Judas rebuked, spoke and said, he went out angry.
Gotcha.
That's it, Wade. That's it.
Okay.
Jesus said that, didn't I choose the 12 of, and one of you is a devil? He said that. John 6:70. He made that announcement prior to all that happening.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. That's a good thing to discuss. Yeah. What do y'all think? Where is that?
Where is that?
Dave?
That's John 6:70.
Oh, yeah, but that was after he had already picked him. It's just that they were already down the road a little ways for that. I believe that Judas, when he first came to Jesus, was excited about Jesus and was a disciple. But then I think unforgiveness is what took him out. If you remember, when he came back and he threw the 30 pieces of silver back to the preachers. He told him, you know, he tried to repent. There was no repentance for him because he still had unforgiveness in his heart. And, you know, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, Pat.
That reminds me of tracks on the same point I was making before, and that is Judas, obviously he fell at that time,
mm-hmm.
and he fell caused by what he did not know, or he didn't, well, never mind, forget that whole thing. What I was thinking about when we were talking about this is that in Matthew 6:19, this is kind of what I thought about was happening inside of Judas, and that is the Lord was teaching them. He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth consume, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will be thy heart also. And then this is what the Lord had been, that I've been thinking about related to the Ezekiel 36 teaching, and that was, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, focused on one thing, in other words, our eye focused upon God and the heavenlies, and where our treasure sits at the right hand of God in Christ, if that eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, and I was reading, defining that, I think I mentioned that before, but I was defining that evil, and it doesn't mean double, the definition. I can't remember what the definition was, but it doesn't mean evil. But in the context of these verses, it almost applies when he says, but he's comparing it with the verse before. But anyway, so if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore that light that is in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness? In other words, that darkness can be so great, you're not even aware of how great that darkness is. How great is the darkness, he says. No man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. And I have a little bit of a story there that I'd like to just read. It's a couple, it's a paragraph long, and I've been reading in some of John Wesley's stuff and some of his writings and some other contemporaries of his time, some of the writings that they had. But I picked this up in one of, I can't remember where it was, but anyways, it says, many today understand, and when this was written, many today, I think it was in the 1800s or something like that, but many today understand his rest, to refer a degree of victory that allows one to be relaxed and consistent in their faith, positive, out of trouble, always giving God the glory. Well, I suppose that's correct, but it is hardly adequate. In fact, it so understates the glorious reality as to be actually wrong and totally misleading. The perfection of Christian love, and he's coming from he's talking about this whole writing here was talking about perfection or completeness of our salvation in Christ. As David teaches in faith, that first you enter in and you hold on to something by faith until it becomes a manifestation or reality in you, and that becomes the completion or the perfection of that particular faith. The perfection of Christian love consists in its unmixedness or simplicity. And I go back to that Matthew 6:24. You cannot serve two masters, you know, that sort of double-minded scenario. A thing is said to be simple when it is not mixed with other substances, as water is simple or pure when unmixed with other liquids or earth. Thus we speak of pure gold, pure honey, when these things exist in a clarified state. So when the love of God fills the purified heart, it is in a state of simplicity. There is humility without pride mixed with it, love toward God and man without any form of hatred. There is submission without any subtle rebellion. There is faith or trust without any skepticism or doubt. There is grace without the admixture of depravity. Some may ask, does God put mixed grace into a human heart? No, never. But his grace, which is imparted in regeneration, is choked and impeded by our existing original depravity. So it is not divine grace that needs to be clarified, but we ourselves. Our hearts need to be entirely cleansed so that God's grace can exist in us in an unmixed, clarified condition. I was once riding with a friend in a western city on a bright September day. He wished me to explain the nature of perfect love. And I said, "Do you see that sunshine? Is not this a perfect day? What hinders the sunshine from being perfect?" He said, "It would be perfect but for the smoke and the dust from the city." "Exactly," I said, "but there's no dust or smoke in the sun." "But that arises from the city and they get mixed, but not amalgamated. The sunshine remains sunshine and the smoke remains smoke, but they exist in the same atmosphere. Now, if a heavy rain should cleanse from the air the impurity and then the bright sun should shine out, you would have the sunshine filling the air without dust or smoke, and then that would be a perfect sunshine. Now," I said, "when you were converted, God put his love into your heart. But have you not had much dust and smoke in your experience?" "Oh, yes," he said. "But where did the smoke and dust come from?" he answered. "Not from God, but from my own heart." Now, I said, "If you should have a Holy Spirit thunderstorm to wash the dust and smoke out of your nature, then the same love that you received in regeneration would exist in a simple and unmixed state within you." So sanctification does not impart to us any new graces, but removes from us the antagonism to graces. And thus, all the graces imparted in regeneration can abide in a quiet, peaceful condition. God can make our hearts his quiet resting place when all the opposites to his will have been removed. Page 22, The Secret Spiritual Power of G.D. Watson. I'm not sure I know who G.D. Watson is. Well, I know I don't know who he is. But anyway, I'll stop there. That essence of that purity and sanctification is what I have been seeking and looking for the Lord. And that is the basis of Ezekiel 36 promises. And that's what I'm looking for myself and for us. So, praise the Lord.
Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else want to elaborate? I want to read you something. Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
Oh, I got back to the one thought I was thinking. You mentioned that Judas was reprobated because he didn't have repentance in a sense. Is that right?
Well, I said he had unforgiveness.
Unforgiveness.
Okay. Yeah.
So, I mean.
That's what I think.
He threw the, I mean, yeah, it's fine. I'm kind of going with that a little bit. We knew he threw the silver in the temple because I think at that point he realized, hey, whoa, I made a big mistake here. He's seen his error, right? And he didn't want to have any part of that. He wanted to wash his hands of that blood money, but it was too late at that point because that's what he did. He had blood money on his hands, and it's something you can't remove. But at the same time, I remember Jesus being on a cross. When all those people were crucifying him and they're spitting on him and, you know, soldiers and the people next to him, he says, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. If I kind of wonder if Judas had come to that point where he just went to the cross where Jesus was at, you know, and with that repentant attitude to, hey, I really screwed up here. If he wouldn't have still been forgiven, if he could have forgave himself. But apparently he didn't have the repentance to do that. So what did he do? He killed himself. Mm-hmm. So that was like, that definitely would seal it to a degree in my thinking that, you know, you came out of this world and you didn't, you know, you took your own life because you couldn't handle the grief of the sin that you did. And rather than try to, find the forgiveness and find the faith for forgiveness, he didn't go there. Anyways, I was just rambling with those thoughts.
Yeah, no, that's good. Listen, I like what, and this is true. Let's see, let me get that back up here. George said, Judas, a letter believer. He was expecting an earthly rule and immediate overthrow of the Roman government, of course. Thus, disappointment and root of bitterness. And that's exactly right. He thought that Jesus was going to come and get on his horse, and he was fixing to get his sword and fixing to tear up stuff and restore the Israelis to their rightful place in his mind. And, yep, you're right.
I read that was kind of area that he came from, that's what they were about.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what they're thinking nowadays, too.
There were sects of Jews, and that was a section he was from.
Yeah. There's people who think that, too, today. Okay.
I think it was the Zealots. Is that the group? They were like modern-day patriots wanting to reclaim Jerusalem or Israel from the Romans. If that sounds right.
It could be.
I think that's the group supposedly he was, because, like I said, I saw a version of a movie, Francisco Zeffirelli, and that's how they portrayed Judas. He was always wanting that earthly rule, you know, and Jesus was saying, Jesus was always kind of, I guess, rebuking him, you know, saying, you're missing the point, Judas. You know, one scene he said, because Jesus shows up in the temple, and he, you know, there was a scribe, I believe, of the Sanhedrin, and Judas was just disappointed in what Jesus had to say about him. And he said, you know, this man has had all the intentions of greeting you and helping you. And Jesus said, open your heart, but open your eyes, Judas. You know, Jesus, I mean, so yeah, I guess Judas, I would agree with that, what George said. You know, it seems like he had a different agenda compared to what Christ had. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, Jesus told him, he said, no, you can't see my kingdom. My kingdom is not here. You can't see it, man.
Yeah.
It's a spiritual kingdom. And Judas just couldn't handle it, I guess. Go ahead, Tim.
Talking about on when Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit, it talks, you know, part of his little speech there is that, you know, the salvation from our enemies, you know, has been forespoken, the salvation from our enemies in the hand of Jesus, and give knowledge of salvation unto his people. But part of it, you know, salvation, like just saying there, that, you know, they weren't expecting the spiritual thing. They wanted, you know, the glory of Israel back, and that's what they're expecting from the Messiah.
Yeah. Amen. Go ahead, Missy.
I just started reading this last night.
What is it?
In heaven into hell by Merlin Crowes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And this vision about Judas, like, well, I got to read this part in this. It's talking about Judas here in, I forget what chapter, is second chapter or something. This is what it says. It's talking previously kind of about, it's talking about the prodigal son, and this part right here is really good. That anyway, the father's forgiveness is waiting, but some of us return home to accept it. What if the prodigal son had been sorry for his wrongdoing, but never came home to ask his father's forgiveness? There are some unhappy people who bitterly regret the condition their lives have fallen into, and who cry with remorse for their guilt, but who will not ask God's forgiveness. And what came to my mind was Esau right here. And then he goes on in the next paragraph. Judas was like that. He regretted his betrayal of Jesus and tried to pay back the riches he had received for his act of treason. When that didn't work, his guilt drove him to hang himself. He never heard the words Jesus on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Are you so burdened by guilt that you try to destroy yourself? Psychiatrists say that unresolved guilt causes a self-destructive urge to punish ourselves and become alcoholics, overeaters, drug users, or criminals. And my thought is, you know, any kind of addiction to comfort our flesh or help us to cover over what's going on. But then he goes on, we may think that we are too undeserving to be forgiven and our sins too terrible for God to accept us. Some of us may not understand that God wants to forgive us, but more often it is pride that makes us unwilling to accept God's pardon. We want to take the responsibility for repayment on ourselves. When I read that again, it made me think of the money, the 30 pieces of silver, repayment, and refuse to admit God's forgiveness is the only remedy for our guilt. And what was in my mind reading this was rejection, 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 rejection. They refuse to admit. Let me read this sentence again. We want to take the responsibility of repayment on ourselves and refuse to admit, and what I wrote there was confess our sin, that God's forgiveness is the only remedy for our guilt. Anyway, his perspective on that was pretty interesting.
Amen.
That's my two cents.
Okay. You ain't getting your change back. Okay. Go ahead, Don.
So I get what you're saying, which kind of plays as Judas was. He threw the money back in the temple because he's still trying to justify himself rather than going to God to get forgiveness and go and get true forgiveness. He's still trying to work out his own salvation, and it didn't work out.
Could be, yeah.
Could be also that he did run into a few of those zealots that said, oh, come on, God's not going to give up on Israel here. We got to go and take this land from the Romans too, you know. And he could have been convinced by those zealots to pick up another spirit there, which made him also come to that spirit of rejecting and being a traitor for Jesus. Because you see, he wants to see the kingdom come in the way it was with Israel as being the top nation, you know. Whereas it was going to be converted from a physical nation to a spiritual nation. And also Jesus was actually trying to teach them the different Sabbath there too, the spiritual Sabbath. So you know, I think it might even be a combination of the two, you know. What you said there, Dave, and what Missy said, and also that other scenario of events, you know, you get some patriotism there in a person to do something, he'll go out and kill people. Mm-hmm. And Jesus was killed.
Can't discount the fact that a couple, a chapter before Satan entered into him either. That probably didn't help his case too much.
Didn't help his testimony at all, did it?
No, it didn't work out well at all.
Well, we got to understand, what was it that allowed Satan to enter into him? There was something there that allowed that. And I think Michael, and we all hit that, is unforgiveness.
Amen. So.
That was, I believe that was the door there. And like you said, Dave, he had too much pride there to even confess his sin. And who was it that said that if he'd have waited until Jesus was on the cross, maybe he could have confessed? I wonder about that. Yeah, Missy.
There's another part here, a couple pages over. Our region of his forgiveness may not be so obvious. We may say we admit our wrongs and accept his forgiveness, but behave as if we are paying the penalty for our own sins. Many people in that category become Christian workers. They give their love and service to God as pastors, Sunday school teachers, lay leaders, nuns, or priests, but they labor more out of a sense of duty than of love, and a little joy in serving Christ. All of us at one time or another have behaved like this.
Yeah, that's working your way in, right? That's trying to work your way in. Yeah, Dave.
I just want to say this real quick. I spoke a lot tonight. I did ask David when I was there at the house. I says, because I was curious, and it was just on my mind. It was like, what is it? Why are these people that faction out, why are they factioning? And he gave a few quick answers, but then finally he landed on unforgiveness. It's mm-hmm. unforgiveness that's doing it.
Yeah. Well, the faction, when they faction out of here, there's a couple of things that you can bet is going to happen. One of them is, they will not talk to David at all. And another thing is, God wipes the slate clean up here. Everything that they knew gets wiped out. They don't remember anything about the teachings that they've learned over the years through this ministry. This is just odd stuff. It's a demon. Okay, well, we're out of time. Let's see. Well, Father, Lord, I just lift up all of these fine brothers and sisters to you, Lord, and I thank you for them. I thank you, Lord, for the hunger for the Word of God and knowing the truth. And Lord, I learned some stuff tonight, and that's good. I like that. I like to learn more and more. And it's good that we all, everybody has a part. You know, they got a part, I got a part, everybody's got a part. And we all learn different things. There's different layers to your word, Lord. And we're seeing that. We're opening up, peeling some of those layers back. And it's awesome to see the things that you're teaching us. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And I ask, Lord, that you continue in us the hunger to keep on praying for one another and to intercede for one another. And, Father, I thank you that we're going to see answers to these mighty prayers that we've been praying, because we do get off by ourselves and we intercede in the Spirit for all of these prayer requests. And, Father, we thank you that the next time we come together, we're going to have some wonderful testimony. And not only that, Lord, that, it looks like the time is near. I ask, Lord, that you be with President Trump, protect him, protect Vice President Pence. There's been a prophecy about him being assassinated as well. Be with the Pope. There's been one on him being assassinated, and also Rob Rosenstein, him being assassinated too, so that they don't talk about the deep state. But Father, we just thank you for your angels that are round about them to hold them protected, and that you would turn these people to you, Lord, because their world is fixing to go turn upside down. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to grant repentance to every one of them, and they'll want to come clean and be in the kingdom. And Father, we ask for wisdom for President Trump, and we ask for strength, supernatural strength, and supernatural discernment as well. And Father, we just praise you for all the work you're doing in him to bring this country back around and taking it away from the thieves and the robbers and the murderers. And Lord, we just praise you for it. I know it's not our kingdom, Lord, but we got to live here. And we thank you for peace because of it, in Jesus' name. We ask, Lord, that you protect us this weekend as we go about doing the things that you want us to do. We ask for your guidance, whatever we do, Lord, and we thank you for it. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to place it in the heart to pray and to get into the word, Lord, and we thank you for it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, y'all. God bless you.
All right.
Good night, all.
All right, good night. Everyone. God bless
see everybody.
See you Tuesday.
Good night.
Lock us, brother.
Night.
All right, good night.
My screen's froze up here.
Oh, you're moving on us.
Good night. Okay. Yeah.